In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Years ago, seems like many, many years ago, before Andrew and I moved to Boston so that I could begin my studies at Holy Cross, I worked in the advertising industry. I was a copywriter and a producer of television, radio, and print advertising before we left for Boston. Did that for a few years. And when I first got into that business, I had many ideas of what it must be like to work in an advertising agency. And I think for many people who have never done such work, we have an idea of what it must be. People must be riding around on scooters in the hall all day long, sit around, goof around, get jacked up on Cokes all day and just come up with great ideas and not really work, but just be fun and creative and have a good time. And certainly there is an aspect, a small aspect, of that kind of work in a day's activities. But days like that, agencies like that, are very few and far between. And they tend to come and go pretty quickly because a lot of playing gets done, but not a lot of work gets done. And I remember one of the first accounts that I worked on as a young copywriter was for a company named Wintersteiger. Maybe you've heard of that company being here in the Mountain West, because what does Wintersteiger make? They make ski wax, they make ski tuning equipment, high-tech machines that craft and modify skis and snowboards. I thought, this is going to be great. I'm going to work with a great industry that does a lot of fun things here in the Mountain West. But Wintersteiger has a division that's even larger than anything they do with skiing. You know what they make? Combines, seeders, planters, high-end, high-tech, high-education, high-research, German farming equipment. That wasn't a lot of fun to work on. Those brochures, not a lot of fun. Trade publications to high-tech farmers, wasn't a lot of fun. So that was my introduction into the world of advertising. Now, today's gospel reading, we heard about a farmer, a sower of seeds, who held in his hand really the beginning of life, the potential of life, a handful of seed. Think about it. Something that you can hold in your hand, and once it's put in the ground properly, is going to be able to cover many, many yards of space, of earth. Something this small is going to be huge at some point, and it's going to yield something. It's going to give us something that we can either sell or eat ourselves or enjoy simply for the pleasure of working in the earth. What did this farmer do in the gospel reading? He took it and he threw it all over the place. He really didn't care where it landed, seemingly. It landed in the earth, it landed on the ground, it landed on the road, it landed in the rocks. Wherever he could throw it, that's where it went. Quite the opposite when I first started studying and learning about how farming is done and how seeds are planted. Because there are machines that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, literally, that will cultivate the ground and place a seed exactly where it needs to go in a measured, engineered way to give the best possibility for that seed to have abundant life. Now, there is one thing that is true, either in the annals of a publication that speaks directly to PhD/farmers, and also the gospel reading today, someone who's going to take a handful of seed and chuck it everywhere and see what sprouts and how it sprouts and when it sprouts and how strongly it sprouts. And that is, something has to land in the good earth in order for it to prove fruitful, in order for it to be helpful. Now, I don't want to concentrate today on those first three kinds of soils that we heard last night. I think I'm in too good of a mood, too happy about Utah's win last night. You could tell in my voice where I was, like many of you till 2 in the morning. But anyway, I don't want to talk about those soils, those hearts, those trodden paths, those rocky places, those thorny places that are in our hearts. Perhaps that's for another time. Today we're going to talk about the good soil, the good earth, the rich earth. There's a word in Latin for the earth, and that is humus. The word in Greek is homa, You've all heard that joke, I'm sure, before. That's how Oklahoma got its name. The first Greek immigrant stood on the ground and said, "Oh, Kalohoma," and named the ground. You know, that's twice we've joked about Oklahoma from this very poll. But the first was in His Eminence, and now it was me. So we're not going to put this on the internet. At any rate, Oklahoma, it means the good earth. Now, hummus and homa are the root words for another word that's very important to us in this context. And what is that? Humility. Humility is what crafts the good earth in us. Because what kind of an earth is God talking about in this parable? It's our hearts. We are of the earth. We are taken of the earth and given a breath of life through the Holy Spirit. And if we are to be a proper resting place for God's word to dwell within us, we have to be that kalohoma, that good earth, that good ground. We have to be a heart that is prepared. And that is the other thing about the good earth of this world, is it's not an accident of nature. If someone who makes their living on farming the land, that person has to have an absolute understanding of that soil, of the earth, of the weather, of his climate and topography around him or her. He has to know, or she has to know, that the seed has to have the best opportunity to be placed in the ground and to be able to grow. And again, as I said, it's not an accident, because the good earth is cultivated. The good earth is prepared. The good earth is toiled. And if you've ever heard the term to turn your heart, that's what it means in this context, to turn over the soil of that heart, to make it rich, to aerate it, to break apart that which is crumbly and hard and crusty and full of clay, where the water and the air and the nutrients can go deep into that seed. God is casting a seed for us today to be planted into our hearts. And as he told the disciples and we hear on this day, that seed is what? His precious word, his commandments. The word is the seed, but when it's properly nurtured and watered and cared for and nourished, that little seed becomes either a plant or a stalk or a vine or a tree or something that will yield beneficially. That is your faith in action. That is the word that has been planted in you and turning into something that is going to be of benefit for your soul, for the soul of others, for your salvation, for the salvation of all of us. Whatever God has planted in each of our individual hearts, he's wanting it, and he's urging it to grow at this time. So we don't need a PhD in horticulture. We don't need a doctorate degree in agriculture. We don't need a $200,000 Wintersteiger planter for us to be able to have cultivated in our hearts. God has planted something in us today, and he's looking for it to be watered. He's looking for it to be nourished, and he's looking for it to bear fruit. And lastly, this requires patience. I remember as a young child, my dad planting a garden, and we planted it with him, and then we'd go out the next day and sit and look. Nothing. The next day, go out. No zucchinis yet, Dad. No, it takes time. It takes patience. And thank God, he is patient with us.